up to your seat and do something if you like to do that. We do not mind kids running back and forth to their parents and back to the station, so you are welcome to go there anytime and back to your seat whenever you like. Also, there are prayer stations on either side where if you want to at any time during the service, before or after and during, to come and light a candle for whatever is on your heart. So feel free to do that. Instead of reading the scripture, yep, right over there. It's all good, you know, it's all good. Yeah, we love the kids. Instead of reading the scripture this morning, I'm going to tell the story of the beginning of the ministry of Saul or Paul. We know him as better in our scripture as Paul. However, his name was Saul and Paul. When he became a Christian, he didn't change his name to Paul, and God didn't give him a new name. Saul actually was his Jewish name, which he used within Jewish circles, but once he started to branch out into the Roman world, he identified himself as Paul because that was a more common name, and so it's interchangeable, Saul or Paul, whichever. Jesus continued throughout his ministry. Even though he never met Jesus in person, Jesus continued to speak to him and always called him Saul, no matter what. So Saul, Paul, interchangeable. So Paul was a strict member of the Pharisee sect within Judaism. Now the Pharisees were the most conservative sect within Judaism, and they many, many, many centuries. Firmly in their law, which had developed over many, many, many centuries. And so the law was really important to Pharisees simply because they believed that if they kept the law, they remained purer for God. And so when anybody was perceived as breaking the law, the Pharisees, which was not only the most conservative sect, it was the most populous sect within Judaism, would sometimes persecute those who did not keep the law. They wanted to keep people pure. I mean, for various reasons, and we can understand why. Most people didn't kill other people if they didn't keep the law, but some were so fervent about their faith and their tradition. They got very angry with anybody who was a Jew, and did not follow the law. Paul was one of those people. He was deeply committed to his tradition and to his faith. And so Paul was one of those people who persecuted anybody who moved outside of the tradition. And what happened during Paul's time was this was the beginning of the way of Jesus, the followers of Jesus. And they were Jewish converts. And so they left the Jewish tradition, or they moved out of the Jewish tradition and the law into following Jesus. And Paul hated that. Hated it. So he went out door to door in Jerusalem and pulled out anybody who was a Jesus follower and imprisoned them. And sometimes, some way, he had some of them killed, including Stephen, one of the first followers of Jesus. Now, I will tell you this. Jews were second-class citizens in Rome. And even though this was Israel, they were still second-class citizens. Rome still had authority for law and whatever else. However, they were not as concerned when Jewish people killed their own. It just wasn't that important to them, so they turned the other way. That's how Paul got away with this. So this is what Paul was doing. And at some point, he finds out there is a big community of Jesus followers in Damascus, which is north of Jerusalem, and it's about 135 miles from Jerusalem. What is that in? That's well over 200 kilometers. And he decides he'll go to the religious leaders in Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin, the leader of the Jewish sect, and he would get letters from them so that he could go to Damascus and pull out and imprison and even kill those in Damascus who were following Jesus. So he gathered a group of people who were like-minded with him, and they started their travels to Damascus to rout out these followers of the way, these followers of Jesus. On the way to Damascus, we don't know at what point in their journey, because over 200 kilometers walking is quite a few days of travel. So on the way to Damascus, they're talking about what they're going to do. They're talking about these Jesus followers who they hate. But at some point on the road to Damascus, Paul has an epiphany. Sees the light, so to speak. The scripture puts it as there's a blinding light that flashes around Paul, and he falls to the ground and he hears a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he's trembling on the ground. Who is this? Who is speaking? And the voice comes back. It's Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And Jesus got up from, Saul got up from the ground, and those who were with him had to lead him the rest of the way to Damascus. There he goes to a house where he is staying, and Jesus speaks to another man, Barnabas, and says, "Hey, I want you to go over to this house on Straight Street he was on. I want you to go over and I want you to see Saul, and I want you to lay hands on him and I want you to heal him." And Barnabas says, "No way. I'm not going to do it. I know why he was coming here. He was out to get us. He was out to kill us. He was threatening us. I am not going over to do this." And Jesus says, "You are going to do it. Go do it." Barnabas does go over. He lays hands on Saul, and he is given his sight again. Now, there's a little prologue to this story that we find in the book of this letter to the Galatians, where Paul says, after this happened, before he even goes back to Jerusalem and speaks to the followers of Jesus or anything else, it says, after that happened, I went to Arabia for 3 years. I went away into the desert for 3 years. When I came back, that's when I saw Peter and all the rest of them. So he spent 3 years away from the community before he came back. In that time, he was a changed man. That is the story of the beginnings of the Apostle Paul. Religion. Religion is a human-made set of propositions and practices cobbled together over the centuries of any particular tradition. It's an attempt to help people to approach and understand that which we ultimately can't understand, the mystery of life. So we try. We try to understand it, but we fall short, way short of comprehending the mystery of the universe, its creation, its purpose, our purpose, and how everything works together. So we keep trying, and we keep adding to our traditions, trying to understand more and more and more. And what happens with a religion is it becomes kind of solidified in a set of rules and practices. And we begin to believe and engage in the practices of religion, really without thinking again about what its purpose is. What is the purpose of religion? We become more attached to the principles, the precepts, and practices of the religion than we look to what it is intended to do. Here's what religion should be about. The role of good religion is to help people to connect to the holy, to God, to ultimate reality, whatever you name that. The role of good religion is to connect us and to reconnect us with our truest and our deepest selves. Good religion opens us up to God. It opens us up to all other humans. It expands our heart, it softens our souls, and it broadens our perspective on mystery, on the world. It draws us deeper into love and understanding. And most importantly, it allows for the paradox and mystery and wonder and curiosity that we all experience. And we come to a place of not knowing, and we're okay with that, within the mystery of God. So if that's what good religion does, obviously there is also bad religion. Bad religion creates systems of precepts that emphasize certainty, that seems to promote all of the answers, and adhering to a certain limited set of beliefs and practices. And bad religion sets up a box that you have to live within, or you are outside of that box. It creates division, rigidity, fear of the stranger and the unknown, and drives us deeper into that dichotomy of us and them. Them being those who don't believe what everybody else in the system believes. But people in bad religion get smaller, less loving, more judgmental, less accepting of the differences within humanity, and often condemn those who are not like them to some eternal torment, while those within assign to themselves some kind of heavenly reward for their beliefs or their loyalty to that tradition or their right practice. So there definitely is good and bad religion. Even though all religion is human made, it's not dropped down from somewhere else. It really is speculation. Therefore, it is subjective. We cannot possibly know within any religious tradition whether we are correct or right. Therefore, we need to show grace. And because religion has become so divisive and so diverse, one might conclude that all religion is bad. And it's not. Because religion of all beliefs on earth seeks that which is intrinsic to all of us, the desire to know the unknowable. So we keep seeking to be curious about ultimate questions of meaning and source and beauty and love. Religion seeks to understand the soul and our connection to all things. It points us to God, or any word you might use for the source of all things. At its best, religion creates deeply spiritual beings. At its best. Deeply spiritual beings. Now, there are lots of definitions of spirituality. Everybody here has their own definition of spirituality, if you've even thought of it, I'm sure. But I wanted today just to propose a simple definition of spirituality for you today, which you can actually take and chew on and ponder and come up with your own sense of spirituality that makes sense to you. But here's the definition I'm going to give you today. Spirituality is the state of seeking connection with the oneness of all things. Spirituality is the state of seeking connection with the oneness of all things. If all things, as we propose as humans, come from one source, we name that source God, then we are all a part of this one source. We can be nothing else. We are all connected in this greater oneness, which makes us one. Everything is one with God. And as spiritual beings, when we come to recognize this and live it out, it's not possible to hate anybody. Because we recognize that we are all one. That you're not different than me. You are a part of me. We come to understanding in different ways, but when we get it, we understand that even though we come to it in different ways, we are all seeking the same thing, to return to our original state of oneness with God. Now, religion, I am going to say, has messed this journey up badly. This journey toward love and oneness over the years. Yet, it has also been the vehicle for trying to get us there. I know of no other way. Because religion, as flawed, as inept as it is, it has always asserted in one way or another that there is something more, that there is something bigger, something more worthy than to pursue than our own selfish desires and needs. That we are not individuals, we belong together. And we belong to something greater than just our individual selves. Religion has always pointed to that. That is why we have needed and still need religion, because nothing else in the world is doing that. It is the imperfect vehicle for exploring our spiritual natures. It has given us the questions and ideas and practices that allow us to explore the possibility of a greater unity and reality than what our senses, our physical senses, experience. So back to Saul, or Paul. When we first meet Paul in Acts, he is on a vengeful tear toward all followers of Jesus. He is in a rage. He is arresting, imprisoning, and even encouraging the murder of Jesus' followers, who at that time are mostly Jewish converts. He is so in the throes of bad religion that he can't see what the Jesus followers are promoting. He hasn't stopped to see that what they are doing is trying to promote love and community, care for your neighbor, peace, humility, sacrifice, and love. Now, what's wrong with that? All he sees is people leaving the little box that he has set for himself, the Jewish tradition and practices, and they have left to follow Jesus. And because he is a deeply religious man, he will defend his tradition to the death of others, and even his own death if he has to. Then on the way to Damascus, Paul is hit with a sudden epiphany. Light. And he sees the light, so to speak, and is blinded by the realization. How do we have epiphanies? Those aha moments. Perhaps he is convicted by the intense hatred in his heart, and he begins to not like the feeling. Perhaps he is sickened by the thought of murdering people. Maybe he has really heard now the testimony of the Jesus followers, and he suddenly realizes in his heart that what they are saying and doing is actually more life-giving than his own experience within his own tradition. Whatever it is that strikes him and gives him that epiphany in that moment, Paul is transformed. And in this moment, he moves from religion to spirituality. Not overnight. In Galatians, he tells us that after this experience on the road to Damascus, he withdraws from the world for a time, 3 years, to move into a time of seclusion and silence and reflection. I know of no other way to be spiritual than to be in moments of silence and reflection. And when he returns, he is a changed man. Not perfect. He's still human. He continues to learn and make mistakes and to grow. Many people these days are saying they are spiritual, but not religious. And I get why people say this. We have encountered far too much bad religion to want to be a part of a religious institution. I get it. And what I think they are saying is that they believe in love, they appreciate nature and beauty, and are grateful and hopeful and seek joy and peace and all those good things. Everything I agree with. Yet I'm going to say that spirituality is more than this. It requires intentional practices of reflection, contemplation, stillness, and silence that connect us to what that ultimate reality of oneness, of connection and transformative love. Now, while I have at times, and still do, question my faith and certainly religion, I also recognize that it is religion that continues to spur my desire to go deeper, to ask the questions, and sometimes I choose to reject that which I have learned and believed, a lot of it over the years. Yet religion has given me a community that supports my quest, gives me some of the questions to ask, challenges what I believe, and has given me the tools I need to become a spiritual person. Paul never ceased to be religious. He was always a Jew and stayed a Jew. Through religion, he was led to spirituality. He was both spiritual and religious. Even though he ultimately had to reject himself, a lot of the religious beliefs and practices in his own tradition to become spiritual. So I have come to understand myself as both spiritual and religious. They serve each other. I could never have one without the other. Christianity has been the container through which I have approached God, life, and a deeper purpose. It's given me the community I need and the practices that I need to grow. I am grateful for this tradition which informs my life, recognizing that there are many traditions out there that point people toward the mysteries of life. Some of them perhaps are closer to the truth than others, only because they have done the hard work of looking honestly at themselves, their beliefs, what they teach, who they are. This is the joy of living in a perfectly imperfect world. None of us have complete answers, and if we think we do, then we don't understand the journey itself. Religion never gives you the answers. It gives you the means to get to your deeper self and to get to the oneness of all things. We move through religion to spirituality, to wisdom, grace, connection, and love. And here's the thing about spiritual people. Sometimes deeply spiritual people seem to be on the fringes of religion because they become unconcerned with the trappings of the tradition. They have connected to God deeply and no longer need religion to point them towards the way. In all religious traditions, these deeply spiritual people within the traditions have actually more in common with each other than they have within their own religious traditions, people in their own religious traditions, because they have attained that oneness, that deep spirituality. Yet they remain in their traditions to support and guide others in the way, as Jesus did within his tradition. And spiritual people never feel alone. That's the neat thing about spirituality. They never feel alone because they experience the connection to all things and they can rest deeply in that knowing. They are unattached to the trappings of the world and all of the stuff of the world, and they are more connected to wisdom and to love. That's the ultimate goal of religion, to point us toward the fullness of life, or as full as it can be on this earth. And the journey certainly is not linear. Everybody has a different journey. We find the path sometimes, we lose it at others. But it is deeply rewarding and it is deeply beautiful. So as we move through our religion, don't hold it too tightly. We're just moving through. May we be humble on the path, connected to life and to one another. May we be kind and gentle to others who are on the journey, even if it's in another religious tradition. And may we take delight in the transformative moments that make all life worthwhile and actually worthy of living. Amen. Amen. Let's just take a moment for reflection.